Hey everybody, this is Todd Parridge from New Hanover United Methodist Church in Gilbertsville, Pennsylvania, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we're back. Episode 56 of the Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast. Hey, everybody, this is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe. We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas, and we're here to help youth workers to keep going.
Mr. McCabe, how are you today?
I am doing pretty decent. Fair pretty to middling, decent. I'd say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are recording this just a few days before a lot of youth workers are kicking off
absolutely
their season.
I would imagine a few kicked off last night,
probably
on Wednesday night,
and then, probably.
But this weekend's probably big. I know in our context, both our middle school and high school kick off this weekend.
Yeah, so by the time this drops on Tuesday, we'll have already kicked off here.
Yep.
And man, I am going crazy.
Oh, I bet. I bet you're just running around. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got so much going on. I feel like I have a thousand plates up in the air spinning right now, and it's fun.
Yep. As I walked out the door, my middle school director and high school director were finishing up some tweaks in our youth room, you know, so
nice.
New stage design and new foosball table and,
nice.
You know, some of that stuff. And
good.
Yeah, exciting stuff is happening.
Yeah, we just got a truckload of stuff delivered into the room we're recording in.
Absolutely. I'm getting hungry looking at it
My
all.
My staff just brought in like
60 pounds of cereal. I still want to know what that's about, but I'll wait.
Well, we'll see how this works out.
Yeah.
It's a new idea.
So if it works out, coming soon to a Youth Ministry Sherpas
right.
episode.
Maybe we'll make
free
a
idea.
Game out of it and put it up on DYM
there
or
you
something
go.
Anyway.
There you so. Go.
Yeah, so it's exciting times. I love the fall in youth ministry. Just love this season. Activity, excitement, enthusiasm, momentum. Man, if it was like this all year round,
yeah,
wouldn't that be the best?
It would be. And not to mention that, football.
Football!
Tomorrow night, the high school team I help with gets their season started. Tonight is the kickoff of the NFL season.
Correct.
College season's already rolling. I mean, what is not to like about this time of year?
And Antonio Brown has gone off the rails.
Yeah, that makes you happy, doesn't it? Yeah, now that he's not a Steeler.
Right.
Yeah.
Just glad he's not our problem anymore.
Somebody else's problem, exactly.
Yes. Which, you know, kind of transitions into today's episode a little bit.
A little bit.
We're going to talk today about how to be a hero to our parents.
Yeah. As a youth worker, how can you be a hero to the parents of the students in your ministry, which is a big part of longevity, honestly.
Absolutely. So, Matthew, you've got four kids.
I do.
And they're almost grown and out of the house. You got one who's a senior this year, right?
Correct. My youngest is a senior. And you've got three.
I got three.
All have flown the nest.
All have flown the nest. So, over time, you must have had a lot of different adults involved in the life of your kids. A lot of coaches and stuff, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we have as well. So I was just thinking back, like, what adults who were involved with your kids made a positive impression on you as a parent? And what were the qualities that they displayed that made you like them?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, again, I can think of all kinds of stuff on both sides of the equation.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, I could think of some coaches that did not have a real positive influence. We ended up changing some things in the way our family did things based on a coach that just wasn't a real positive influence in our
sure.
kids' lives and then got them involved in a different program where there was a different style of coaching that they were much more, you know, attuned to.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I know that for me, one of the things that just makes them a hero for me is when they can get things out of my kids that I can't.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't rely on me to get things out of the kids that I'm kind of hoping that by putting my child in your trust, you can pull things out of them that I just either can't or don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. And that was a little bit of the coaching difference we had is we were just looking for some coaches who would spend, you know, more time focused on what can I get out of this kid who I've been given and less time with trying to have us manage that.
Right.
And just more time just communicating to us how it's going.
Right. Okay.
What about you?
I think the coaches that I've liked best over the years were the ones who really liked my kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, took a personal interest in them. And you could tell, like, they just enjoyed they enjoyed coaching them. It wasn't just about the results. It wasn't about the product. It was about the relationship and helping my sons be more than just the athletes or whatever their role was in the team, but, you know, being an important part of the team and being raised as a good young man. Like that was really important to us. And like you said, not every coach brings that to the table.
That's true.
Right? Some Absolutely. Are very utilitarian in the way that they treat the kids. Yeah. So, yeah, there's been positives and there's been negatives. And I think maybe as a youth pastor, I've been able to learn a few lessons from both sides of that angle. So,
oh, I for sure learned a lot from coaches who coached my kids.
Sure.
Because there's a pretty direct connection into what we do.
Yeah.
As student ministry workers and leaders and what coaches do. And so things that I liked about my coaches, things I was frustrated about my coaches are things that I can learn from to be a better youth pastor.
Okay, so we came up with five ways.
We did.
That we can be a hero to the parents of the kids in our youth
there's
ministry.
There's probably more.
Oh, there's many more.
But we got five, and we think they're pretty good. But before we get into that, it's time for...
Sherpa.
Say what?
All right, I got a story for you today. I don't know if you have heard of this athlete or not. Her name is Deja Kelly.
Nope.
She is a basketball star, and she has recently committed to the University of Texas to play basketball for the Longhorns.
That's big time.
It
That's
is big time.
Time.
This
Power
is
five.
A legitimate. Yeah. Yep. She's 5'8". She's a guard, and she's going to be a star.
Wow.
You know what the catch is?
No, what's the catch?
She's 13.
Wait, what?
And she's in seventh grade.
Wait, what?
She's in seventh grade.
Are you telling me a seventh grader has committed?
Has committed to the University of Texas to play basketball. Isn't that crazy?
Sherpa say what? That's crazy.
That's insane.
That
13,
is insane. Wow.
13. She's got 5 years of high school left.
Well, 4 years probably. Oh, no, she's playing high school?
Oh, I don't know. We are confident about the decision, Kelly's mom told ESPN, but Deja's father told NBC's Today he would prefer for Deja to have gone further through the recruiting process. Do you think? Oh, my goodness.
I'm just trying to think about when I was 13, I didn't even know what I wanted to have for dinner the next night, let alone where I wanted to go to college and play basketball.
Asked if she might change her mind about Texas, the young teen who began playing at age 3 told the outlet, I don't think so. There you got it, folks.
Wow.
Commit out of the womb to the University of Texas.
Yeah, what is next? I mean, where do we go from here?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Sherpa.
Say what?
All right. So we're back for the five ways we could be a hero to the parents in our youth ministry. And the first one is?
To be trustworthy.
Be trustworthy. Let's
to
unpack
be
that a little
someone
bit.
Who keeps their promises. And this this takes lots of forms.
It does.
One of the simplest forms it takes is end on time. You know, I mean, you have a weekly program, and it has a start time and an end time. And if you're like me, you're frustrated if kids don't come on time. So you're very focused on that beginning time. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't people respecting the fact that this thing starts at 6:30, not at 7:15 when they stroll in with their, you know, double latte, frap, half skim, one caramel pump, whatever the heck they have. I've never been.
That was really good.
I've never been to Starbucks.
You should work at Starbucks.
Anyway, but yet we have a tendency, again, we, as in
I am guilty.
Me,
guilty.
Of oh, no, we're really somewhere right now. We're going to go ahead and finish this. And then you got parents lined up outside the church sitting in their car for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Or a half an hour
and they're
or
busy,
longer.
And it's late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is going to lead to them not trusting you or not coming. Yeah, or not coming or just being frustrated. So end on time.
You have to transmit this model too through your volunteers. Like we end with small groups, and sometimes my small group leaders
they're the problem.
Yeah, right? They're the problem. So I have to make sure I'm communicating to them as well. Hey, we're ending at 8:30, and my responsibility is to get them to their groups in time to have a good conversation. So it's a give and take. But yeah, we got to end on time.
Yeah, you can't ask your volunteers to end on time if you didn't end on
time
and you're shorting them on time.
Yeah, and I've been guilty of that, and still.
Aren't
occasionally I'm guilty of that, but we got to do better with that.
Yeah.
Same with trips. You know, we've talked about this. If you're coming back from a trip and you say the bus is going to be back at 3:30, you know, barring some extenuating circumstance, which is okay.
Which happens.
Be back at 3:30.
Right.
Just tell them keep your promise.
Keep your promise. You're going to be back at 3. And if something comes up or that's going to deviate for whatever reason, and again, if you've got 60 middle school kids on a trip, there's 100 things that could happen that would delay that. You've got to communicate that pretty clearly and pretty early that your time is going to change. As a parent with 4 children, sometimes the Venn diagram that exists just to get kids where they need to go and pick them up from where they're getting back from is complicated.
And, you need a flow chart.
And a half an hour change in that can blow the whole thing up.
Absolutely.
So the sooner we can know about that, the better. So you got to communicate.
So be trustworthy. Keep your promises. And this goes in all areas of the ministry, but one really simple one is
to be on time.
Be on time.
And to realize that you build that trust over time.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that trust just handed to you on a platter. That you've got to keep those promises consistently for a time for that trust to be there, that if you miss it one time, they'll give you a pass because you've built the trust.
Sure.
So it's a long play.
And it's a mindset, too.
Absolutely.
Of understanding that you are not the center of the universe. Our programs are not the center of our universe. They're not, in most cases, the center of the family's life.
Right.
So we have to honor them and keep our promises.
Absolutely.
All right.
So that's one. That's really simple.
Second one
is obvious, but it's important.
And it's one that we as youth workers often fail in, which is be a communicator. There's so many pieces of this.
Absolutely.
We have so many things to communicate. I mean, I've spent today mostly
communicating
because I'm trying to bring all these pieces together for our big kickoff. We've got our Sunday school starting. We've got events next week. We've got youth leader stuff going on. So I'm communicating all these things.
And it's a complicated thing because you've got lots of things to communicate. You have lots of different stakeholders to communicate them to.
Correct.
And you have, 45,000 different methods in today's day and age in which you can communicate that. I mean, you've got to communicate to church leadership. You've got to communicate to the parents. You've got to communicate to the students. You've got to communicate to your volunteers.
Yep.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and you can email your church leadership and your volunteers, but you can't email your students. They don't read emails. You got to text them. And yeah, I mean, so it gets complicated.
Snapchat
so
them.
You, yeah, exactly. So you've got to have a really clear plan for how you're going to communicate.
Yes, and be clear in what you're saying.
Speaking of that,
yes. Be clear in what you're saying. You've got these events coming up. Be clear. Be concise. You know, think through how you're going to communicate this. They don't want to read novels. Have you?
You don't want to write a novel. You don't have time to write a novel.
I'm sure you have people that you receive regular emails from that just, it's like written vomit.
Diarrhea of the mouth, we call it in my household.
It just keeps coming. There's no punctuation. There's no periods. There's no capital letters. And it's just on and on. And you're like, I have no idea what you're even trying to communicate. You know, there's maybe not quite that bad version of youth ministry communication, but there's probably some
of that. If we're not careful, we can lead to that. Because, again, we do have a lot to communicate. So you're going to have to think through, all right, I'm going to prioritize. What do I need to communicate right now?
Right.
Because I have a short window. I'm on the other side of it as a parent. And cycling back to what you just said in our previous point, this isn't the center of the universe for our parents or even for our kids. There's all kinds of other things happening. There's sports and there's school. And the amount of information that comes into my world as a parent, which I want and I need, but the amount is overwhelming.
Be clear.
I need it clearly and concisely. Tell me what I need to know, when I need to know it, and nothing else, because I don't have the bandwidth for everything else, and I'm going to start losing things on the parent side. So be clear, be concise.
We also say be frequent, but as a caveat to what you just said, don't overwhelm people communicating daily with the next little thing. Like try to stop before you communicate and package it together.
Right.
So that everything's in one place and you're not just bombarding people. But on the other hand, be frequent enough that they feel like they're in the loop.
Absolutely.
Whatever your pattern is, maybe it's a monthly email, maybe it's a weekly email, maybe it's just based on a big event, whatever. But, find that pattern, be frequent enough to be healthy But don't bombard
but
people.
But don't kill them. And then the another thing is early.
Yeah.
And this is something that I know it took me a long time to figure out, because when I was in my 20s and even in my 30s, you know, when I was single for sure, and then even when I was married before we had kids, man, scheduling was cake. You just decided what to do and when you wanted to do it. And then you start adding these children and then their activities, and then scheduling becomes this thing where we schedule so far in advance just to get it to happen. For on a youth ministry side, especially the big events, the summer camps, the fall retreats, the spring retreats, the missions trips, things like that, I need to have those as a parent way before, as a youth pastor, I need to communicate them.
Yes.
And so so whatever form that takes to be able to get some of those big block events out to your parents a year, 18 months. I know it sounds crazy, but and even if it's just like
just
I know
a placeholder for placeholder, the date. Yeah. Like you don't need all the details.
Yeah, exactly. Just we're going to be gone this weekend.
What's the cost of that trip in 7 years? I don't know.
No, no, no. But we can't at least do that. The dates are huge.
Absolutely.
So be early in your communication. I know I was guilty of this often, communicating an event late and then being frustrated with how that event went and how what kind of turnout I got at that event. And at the end of the day, that was my own fault, but I was easy to blame it on the kids or the parents. The parents just don't support this event, or the kids are just not interested in it. No, I didn't tell them about it in time for it to matter to them, which at the end of the day means probably didn't matter much to me.
Oh, you probably gotten a flyer in the mail for a sale that ended like 7 days ago, right?
I have. And then you laugh at that.
Right.
You know, like, oh, what was my the point goodness. Of that? What the, you spent 38 cents to send me something that happened already?
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't be that person.
Yeah. Another piece of the communication is just be thorough. I mean, there's so many ways to communicate now. I have a Facebook group for parents. We have an email list for parents. Of course, we have the church communication. We have the bulletin, the church website. We publish a calendar. What else do I do? We have an Instagram account. Parents can follow us there. I'm probably forgetting something, but we try to use all of those.
Multiple forms.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because everybody's on different things. Some people are on Facebook. Some people use their email more. Some people use texting more.
Yep.
So, you know, figure out those things and communicate via every platform you can.
I know we think about it a lot just simply in the idea of push and pull.
Okay.
Like information we're pushing. So email, text, whatever.
Okay.
I'm pushing that information to you and posting the information where they can come and get it and pull that information.
Okay. I like that.
We need to have both present. No matter what we're communicating, there's got to be a way for us to push it and a way for them to pull it.
Okay.
And let's just go ahead and put this out there, because everyone's thinking it. No matter how well you do this, there are still going to be people that are going to blame you.
Yeah.
Even though you fully communicated, or you're going to get an email, which I have gotten multiple times, a response to an email that contains the information they need that asks you about that information because they were too lazy or busy to actually read the email that you sent.
Yeah.
That's going to happen, but that's not an excuse on your end to be a good communicator.
Bottom line is, this is a boatload of work, but it is a primary responsibility of a good youth worker.
Yep.
It just is. So you got to work this hard.
So you're going to be trustworthy. You're going to be a communicator.
And third one we have is?
You're going to be responsive.
Responsive.
Be responsive.
Unpack that for me a little bit.
Well, in the position that we hold in students' lives, parents are often going to have questions. They're going to have concerns. They're going to have ideas, and they're going to communicate those to us. They might catch us after church on a Sunday. They might email us. They might, you know, text us, whatever. Whatever it is, they're going to reach out to us.
It could be a question. It could be a complaint.
Could be any number of things.
Yeah.
We have to be responsive to that. It's very easy, especially if it's a complaint, or especially if it's an idea that we know we don't like, or we're not going to do, or we think is ridiculous. It's very easy to just brush that aside. But again, going back to the being trustworthy thing, in even the little things, you're building that trust up by being responsive. So How quickly do you respond to their text? How quickly to their voicemail, to their email?
And how graciously
yeah. do you do that?
Yeah, this has been a growing edge in my life, really, forever. I have a reputation, well earned, of being capable of being defensive.
Okay.
When criticized. Some might say.
Some might say.
And, you know, this
you're being very defensive in the way you're presenting this, Steve.
I don't think it's true. It's not fair. No, and I'm sure that sometimes just like the look on my face or the way that I've responded has been less than stellar, and I've tried to grow in that way because I want to be the kind of person who can receive what someone has to say. Whether I agree or not, at least take it in and think about it.
Right.
We did talk about the episode about criticism.
Criticism, yep.
But being defensive with parents as the first reaction is not going to make us a hero.
No.
With our parents.
Not at all.
And this is, I think, especially, if we can be honest, especially a problem the younger you are.
Sure. But it's not it's not exclusive to the younger youth worker.
Right.
I mean, I certainly had a bigger problem with this when I was much younger.
Yeah.
But I know that not too long ago, you know, we had a low night at youth group one night and decided, you know, we're going to call an audible. We're going to get ice cream. I'm going to buy the kids that actually showed up tonight. It was a beautiful spring night, and it was wonderful, which is why most people didn't come. They were out picnicking or hiking or whatever.
Right.
But I was like, I'm going to go buy these kids ice cream. And then we're going to post about that on social media so that everyone knows that, hey, it's not a good night to skip youth group because they got free ice cream. And when it all was said and done, I got an email that night from a parent who said, hey, my kid just came home, told me what happened, said they went to get ice cream. And while we appreciate you buying them ice cream, we're very upset that we did not know. We dropped them off at the church, expected that's where they'd be,
because
that's
campus.
What happens. They left campus. We didn't know about it. And honestly, just let you know, we need to know if plans deviate. And I remember getting that email, and I was not a little defensive. I was angry, because I was like, because I remember that night, I didn't buy it from the church budget. Like, I bought the ice cream. I was like, I bought your kid ice cream, and all you can do is call and gripe at me for that happening. But over time,
their kid was lactose intolerant.
No, it's not true.
They
it's
came home and had diarrhea.
They
the rest
had
of the night.
Like a triple big one, I think. Really soaked me for all it was worth. But as I, you know, was able to process that
as a parent, you can see the point.
I tried to turn my focus, tried to see it from their perspective, which gets easier the older you get because you actually have that perspective as a parent. It's harder to do in your 20s and 30s, but it's possible if you really take the time to think, all right, let me think, where's this coming from? And let's go ahead and say that there are going to be some where it's going to be like, no, that's ridiculous.
Oh, sure.
But how we respond to that is going to help decide whether we're a hero or whether we're the person they don't trust anymore or have lost respect for.
And even if we're right, it's probably still better to take the posture of being apologetic and being humble and just listening.
Right.
That's a good way to be a hero.
A part of being responsible.
Yeah.
And that leads very well into our fourth thing.
Which is be professional.
Be professional.
Yeah.
And this is, I think this one's dicey. I mean, we talked about this ahead of time, and I think this is right and it's good, but it's one of those like, I see both sides of it and I get it.
Well,
unpack professional for me.
I'm thinking about it from a couple points of view. One is, you know, now I'm 54, so I am old for a youth pastor, but you know, when you're younger, you're trying to be cool. To a certain extent, you're trying to be.
I still try to be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cool 50s. For 54.
I wear my
it's
hat.
Not that cool.
I wear my hat backwards now and again.
Yeah, if you show up for the parent meeting wearing, flip flops, cargo shorts, a ball cap on backwards,
and
a Fortnite T-shirt, and you know you've got parents in the room who are microbiologists and lawyers, that's not a good look.
Right,
it's just not. And you are presenting something to them. You want to take their kid to Mexico for a week. You know, you have to be the kind of, you have to represent yourself in such a way that fits the audience that you're speaking to.
So you're saying I should wear a tie to that?
Not necessarily.
No, exactly.
But you can wear a nice shirt.
Right.
You know, if you're taking the kids to McDonald's after school or the movies, then I don't care
Fortnite
what you wear.
Fortnite t-shirt, hat backwards, get after it.
Maybe not. But anyway, not if you're 54. But anyway, fit.
What about 51?
No.
Oh, dang
sorry.
It.
Just wear, dress appropriately, handle yourself
yes,
appropriately for
that.
The
I
audience.
Yep.
Be professional. The same comes with the communication. You should have good stuff.
Yeah.
Like your emails should be well written.
Professional in product.
They should be proofread.
Yes.
They should be accurate.
Yes.
The information you have out there for your program, it should look good.
Mm-hmm.
It should be well done.
Well done. Yes.
You want to represent well.
Your
events
should be well done.
They should.
The events that you run should be well thought out, easily explained. They should not intentionally put students in danger.
Yes.
Chubby Bunny. I mean, let's
urban
just say
legend,
it.
Maybe.
You don't know. I don't know. And I say that. There's inherent danger in everything that we do. I actually hate it when parents raise their hand at the missions trip meeting. Are you going to keep my kid safe? Well, you know, your kid's not safe on the highway driving
right.
to school. So, no, I'm not keeping them safe. But am I taking all of the precautions that are within my control
mm-hmm.
to provide a safe environment for your kid to be at youth group, go on a missions trip, go to the
yeah.
fall retreat? Yes. And here's all of the things I've taken into consideration. I have professionally, because
yes.
this is my profession, this is what I do for a living, this is what I'm called to do, I know what I'm doing.
Think of it through two sets of eyes. When you're planning events or presenting something, think of it through the eyes of the students. So you want that crazy factor, the wow factor, the fun, the laughter, the loud, right? That's all completely appropriate. But also, as the lead of your ministry, you also need to think, what's the ultimate goal of this? How does this ultimately look to a parent? What have I thought through maybe that the students would never even know that has provided a sense of, you know, professionalism, security, thorough planning?
Right.
You got to think like an adult and sometimes act like a kid to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
I think that's fair. No, I totally think that's fair.
Yeah,
absolutely. But we got to be professional.
Got to be a professional.
Know your audience. Know your situations. That's what a professional does. A professional understands what circumstance they're in, what situation they're in, and what mode of operation they need to be in that thing. Probably the biggest compliments I ever received from anyone, and I still look, to this day, don't know why it sticks out of my mind, but it does because it happened 25 years ago. I mean, I was in my mid-20s.
Wow.
And I remember I was in my first church. I'd probably been there 4 or 5 years. And I remember I was talking with a dad, and he was a CFO
right.
for a big trucking company. I mean, this guy was legit, real deal, and a middle school kid. His kid was great. I love their family. I remember talking to him, and he said, you know the thing that I love about you? And I said, oh, wow, great. He's okay. He's like, you can be talking to my son, and my son feels like you are on his level, and you are engaged in a conversation, and you understand him. And it's engaging, and he likes it. And then you can turn around and engage me
mm-hmm.
in a way that I feel comfortable and that I'm getting the information that I need, and
right.
I trust you. And he's like, I just don't know a lot of people that can go from a 12-year-old to a 40-year-old
mm-hmm.
in almost the same breath. And I was like,
what a good youth worker does.
That's what a professional youth worker can do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So if you want to be in youth ministry for a long time.
I was that guy's hero that day.
You want to be a professional. You want to represent yourself well so that people are going to trust you and trust the ministry. So be professional.
Yes. So be trustworthy. Be a communicator. Be responsive.
Be professional.
Be professional.
And our last one is really our favorite.
Celebrate their kids.
Yeah.
Catch their kids doing great things and tell those parents about it.
One of the core values in our youth ministry, we have 6 of them that we actually have on the wall. One of them is students are celebrated. And we do that within the ministry, but it's really important to take that same idea and transmit that to the parents.
Absolutely.
You know, find a parent on Sunday morning and say, can I just tell you, I watched your son the other day. you know, helped this younger student and was really compassionate towards him. Or I watched your daughter sit with that kid who was having trouble finding a friend. Or I appreciate how your child just steps up as a leader and takes such great responsibility or is so helpful. I mean, there's a thousand things on any given week that you can celebrate in a kid. And you should do it to the kid. You should tell them.
For sure. But definitely do it to the parent.
Tell the parent.
I distinctively remember the day. I mean, not specifically the day, but I remember the experience. Because, again, I had tried to make that a priority of mine in my early in my career to try to, you know, when I saw something in a student, to try to catch their parent and be like, hey, you know, I saw your kid do this. And I remember so often the look of shock in the parents, like, wait, are you talking about my kid? Wait,
right.
There was enough of that.
Make sure you're talking to the right parent.
But then, exactly. But then have it be followed with this, like, almost like a weight had been lifted off their shoulders.
Yeah.
Like this, they stood up a little straighter and they're, and I remember when the first, I can't remember if it was a youth leader or a coach came to me and said, hey, and I remember saying, wait, have my kid? And as a parent, we see everything.
Mm-hmm.
We see the bad, the great, the good, and a lot of the bad. And so every now and again, to have somebody really drill down on something amazing, whew, I tell you what,
that's true, man.
I've had some days rescued by somebody who just celebrated my kid.
As parents, I think we can easily get into the mode of thinking about how our kids need to be different and change and what they need to do better.
It's part of our job to think that way.
I mean, it is, but this is just such a great thing when someone speaks something beautiful about your kid to you. I can say it from experience, and as a youth pastor, I want to be doing that for the parents in our ministry. And I think it's important to be specific, and I think it's important to do it often.
Yeah.
So I would even suggest, I'm just talking out loud here, maybe after every event, you think of one student to celebrate, and you text or email that parent the next morning to say, hey, can I tell you what Jimmy did last night? It was awesome.
That'd be a great pattern to get into.
That'd be great.
That'd be really good. It'd keep you more attuned to that, again, because we're often seeing the problems or the holes in the event or the things that went wrong. We're dealing with the fallout or something that went wrong. But to deliberately point ourselves towards, no, look for something good that happened and then make sure somebody finds out about that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Make that a part of the culture of your youth ministry. Spread that through your volunteers, have them doing it as well, and you will see incredible benefit from that.
And you will certainly be a hero
to
a handful of parents who you text and say, your kid was great. And I like what you said about being specific. I think that's cool. Your kid's so great. You know, like, it's not that I don't want to hear that, but that doesn't really tell me much, right?
Yeah. Right.
So to tell me, why are they great? What do they do? Like, you know, point out something very specific. I love that.
So it's difficult to really do a great job with all the parents in your ministry. It's challenging.
It takes work.
It takes work. It
takes effort, but
it's going to keep you in the game.
Yep. It'll keep you. I mean, longevity is one of the things we talk about time and time and time again. And being a hero to your parents more often than you're a problem to your parents is going to keep you in the game for a long time.
Thankfully, there's the grace of God in all this because we have been the knucklehead to our parents on multiple occasions. We're still employed.
It's
all good.
A whole other episode. Aren't we thinking about doing an episode that time I almost got fired? You know,
we should.
Maybe that'll come into play there.
Someday we may end up doing the episode the day after we got fired. But,
let's hope we don't have to do that episode.
But yeah, hopefully this is helpful to you. If you're a younger youth worker, think through ways that you can be a hero to the parents. And don't be afraid of that. That's part of being a really good youth worker, and you can live into that. So,
yeah, we'd love to hear from you. If you have thoughts, if this stirred anything up in you, jump out on Instagram and throw us a message or a comment on any of our posts. We just love to interact with our listeners.
Hey, and by the way, we still have a few spots available in the Sherpa House for the National Youth Workers Convention in Tampa.
So excited about the convention.
So if you're interested in staying with us at the Sherpa House, it's going to be fun because there'll be probably 15, 20 people hanging out, youth workers. We'll be able to debrief the day together and just enjoy time together in this really cool place. So hit us up on at youthministrysherpas@gmail.com, and we'll get you all the information.
Absolutely. We'd just love to have you part of the Sherpa Party House.
All right. We will be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas. Until then,
Sherpas out.